One of the joys I have right now is teaching our confirmation class. Last week, we were talking about the Gospels, and I asked them if they knew which Gospel was the oldest, and they learned that it's the Gospel of Mark. So I invite you to listen to this reading today from the oldest written Gospel that we have, the Gospel according to Mark, and I am sharing with you from chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. I invite you to listen to the word of God. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him, Jesus, about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he could not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. May God bless this holy word to you this day. Won't you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please tell me that you've had the same experience that I have had. You are eating lunch in a diner or a restaurant like that, and you are having a conversation with someone you really care about. Perhaps it's your spouse, perhaps it's a friend or someone important to you. And you happen to glance up, and you see a TV screen on the far wall, and then you see another TV screen off in the corner, and you see pictures of breaking news that is just calling for your attention. And you have the sense, oh, big stuff is happening that I need to know about. Perhaps you're looking at scenes of still the devastation of the infrastructure in Puerto Rico after the hurricane. Perhaps you are looking at the plight, major plight of refugees in so many parts of our world. Perhaps you are becoming aware of the latest debate on Capitol Hill, or what is happening in terms of discovering the actually genocide of Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar. You're learning about gun violence in schools. We all know that there's been so many incidents just this year alone. I mean, we can count them on more than one hand. Just this past week, a 12-year-old brought a loaded gun to school? Middle school? I want to know what her parents are doing right now and who they are and what they might have been aware of. And so all of that is just swirling in our minds. And, you know, you think about it in the scene that I was just describing, you're just there eating lunch and your eyes happen to glance up, maybe for the wait staff to bring you another glass of iced tea or something or other. And you are just inundated with crisis after crisis after crisis, a steady barrage of it. I think we all have had that dawning moment, how we can't go anywhere. We're not inundated with news and information or pseudo-news, pseudo-information, or, you know, knowledge of domestic or global crises after crises. And it's all calling for our attention, right? It's all calling us to maybe have an opinion or have a critique, or calling us to respond in some way, or just have that deep concern for such massive suffering. Analysis say that the amount of information we receive in 1 week anymore is equivalent to the amount of information years and years ago people would have had to absorb in 1 year. Amazing. Amazing. And then we hold these devices, right, called cell phones, smartphones. We always want to be available to those who need us, and we always want to know that we can get a hold of those that we need constantly. Someone came up with this figure. I don't know who it was. You know, you have to question some of these statistics. But someone said that people touch their smartphone approximately, in general, 2,617 times per day. Something to give us pause. But it's no wonder that that could be true, because, you know, those things we hold in our hands are actually more powerful than the most powerful IBM computer that was at corporate headquarters 30 years ago. It's just incredible. So in the 21st century, we live with just information and all kinds of needs pressing in on us, looking to us and demanding something of us day in and day out, grabbing our attention, grabbing our attention, grabbing our attention. We don't want to put our heads in the sand. We know that that's never the answer. We want to be full participants in life, after all. We want to care in the way that God calls us to care so deeply. And yet, what are we to do when we feel like we can't even come up for air? Jesus faced all this clamoring for his attention. Now, there's a lot of things that are not similar with what we go through today, obviously so. But that is what is similar, that clamoring, that the people that came to us asking him to heal them or to help them or to deal with their problems in some way, he felt like the needs of the world were pressing in on him in the passage that we heard from the Gospel of Mark for this morning. How did he deal with it all? Think about that for a moment. How did he deal with it all? And in some ways, it's a little bit counterintuitive, I think. Jesus, we hear, in the morning, while it was very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Now, doesn't it strike you as a little unexpected? I mean, here all these people are needing him. Wouldn't you think he would say to himself anyway, I've got to be on call. I've got to be available. I've got to help others. And here in our passage, he had just done this wonderful thing for Peter's mother-in-law. And all of a sudden, she is able to be functioning in life again. And so there's all these opportunities to meet all of these needs. And you would think that he would just feel, oh, those immediate needs, they're my mission right now. Well, he goes to a deserted place, and we read in verse 36 that Peter, who is called Simon in this passage, Peter and his companions, they go and find him, and they say, everybody is searching for you. We know he wasn't clueless about that. He had to have known that people were looking for him. We can assume, though, something else. His first priority had to do with finding a deserted place and finding that stillness inside of him so that he could be fully present to the God that was fully present to him. He was there in a place apart. And what happened was his perspective was kept alive. In all the busyness, there's this temptation to be caught up in the fray, as it was for Jesus, caught up in the fray all about him. But notice, he isn't. And after, even after, and this is what is so kind of incredible about this passage, after Peter and the companions find Jesus and say, everyone is searching for you, what does he do? Does he go to all those people that are searching for him? He doesn't. Notice what he basically said. Let's head in the other direction, to nearby villages, so that I can preach there too. That's why I've come. So what we can glean from this passage is he dipped into that inner deep well and found the guidance for what he needed to do and kept perspective because of it. This certainly sounds like, not my will, but thy will be done. So what's the lesson then here for us? Well, I think it is pretty straightforward. We too need to make it our priority to find that stillness in us, to go deeply into that well of guidance, to be fully present to God, who is always fully present to us, whether we recognize that or not. And only then, can we find the clarity to navigate the bigness of all that seems to press in on us from every direction? Only then can we find the clarity to walk in the direction God asks of us because of uniquely who we are and our unique circumstances in our life. There's an old story about a sea captain. At the top of his profession, he had earned a reputation for making excellent decisions in a time of crisis. People did notice, though, before it was time to give orders to his crew, he did something very obvious. He would walk down to the stateroom, open up the safe, got out a secret slip of paper, read it, he would put it back into the safe, then he would go up on deck, and he would actually make the right decision every time, and the crew would follow his orders. And so when the sea captain died, you can imagine everyone was really curious, what was on that slip of paper? And so the first mate went to the safe, opened up the safe, took out the slip of paper, and this is what it said. Port left, starboard right. In difficult times, what did the captain do? He needed to reorient himself to what was so basic, right? So basic. And that then provided him with the grounding that he needed to act. You know those famous words said by flight attendants just as the airplane backs out and gets prepared for takeoff. In the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will automatically drop from the compartment above your seats. To start the flow of oxygen, pull the mask towards you. And then there are those critical words, right? We all know them. We all know them. If you are traveling with a child or someone who needs assistance, secure your mask on first, and then assist the other person. There's something that feels counterintuitive about that. I mean, we want to be helpers. We want to fill the needs of others. Doesn't God call us to selfless service? But the truth of the matter is there is no assisting of others when all that we have to draw on is really what is pretty empty inside of us. We have to remember the importance of our oxygen masks in life. The development of inner resources that help us be fully attuned to our God so that we then can be fully attuned to others. Again, notice the way Jesus knew this. I've shared about Francis de Sales, and I've done that in other contexts, and what the famous quote is that he once said. He said, "Every one of us needs a half hour of prayer a day, except when we are busy, then we need an hour." We have to take on for ourselves the responsibility of listening for God. There are just some things that others can't do for us, and we can't do that for others. No one can breathe for you. No one can take a shower for you. No one can go to the dentist or the doctor for you. No one can wear even an oxygen mask for you. No one can cultivate your spiritual life for you. So our Boy Scouts today know the motto full well. Be prepared, right? Be prepared. We are called to be prepared for all that life throws at us, and life throws an immense amount at us. The only true and lasting and unshakable and secure beyond secure way to be prepared is to time and time again go into God's well of eternal presence with an openness that seeks to allow our hearts to be transformed, and then we can respond in the way that we are needed, the way that we are compelled to respond. But we can do so then with a deeper purpose, a purpose that never forgets the love that is raining down on us. And that love rains down no matter whether we see it or not. Today, every moment of each day and always. Thanks be to God for God's word to us this morning. Amen. Let us pray. O God of our lives, you call us. You call us from the depths of our being to know you in a full way so that we can see clearly and with clarity help others in whatever way we can from our unique vantage point and position in life. Help us never forget the deep well of eternal presence, which you place in each one of us so that we may find strength for the journey ahead. In Christ's name, we pray this prayer. Amen.